The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is a Monday night football doubleheader preview because we have two games on. First, the Washington football team will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the undefeated Steelers. We'll talk about that. And then we will also discuss the Bills and the 49ers. We're going to target gambling things that you can do. We'll talk about football, of course, but also we want to, you know, win some money, and we'll hit some DFS as plus player props. And to talk about it, he has to talk about it twice with me today on a Monday morning. He hates it, but he's nuclear right now, so we got to bring him on. It's RJ White, 6-0 on the best bets last week. Is that right?
6-0 on Sunday. We'll see how this one goes because I got both these games in my best bets from the podcast on Friday.
But you know what the best part is about going, like having a great week, is if you look across the aisle and you see that Pete Prisco had a terrible week.
Did he? I don't even know what his record is. I only concern myself with myself. So
yes, he actually went 3. I think he could go like 3-3. No, he hit the Broncos. So he went 3-3. But like his record against the spread for the full slate was terrible. He had like the Chargers were a best bet. I mean, that, yeah. You just get some of the worst. Yeah, you lose by 45 points, and he had the Browns under too. Anyway, let's get to it. Washington at Pittsburgh. We've got two games to cover. Pittsburgh -6.5. The over under here is 43. Washington 4-7 straight up, but very much in the NFC East mix. A win here would tie them with the Giants in first place. They are 5-5-1 against the spread. 5-5-1. To the over, so basically dead ass even. The Steelers are 11-0 straight up, 8-3 against the spread, and also 5-5-1 to the over. Wild stuff. Pittsburgh has won 10 straight Monday night games dating back to 2014, the third longest win streak since Monday Night Football began in 1970. Washington is 0-4 against the spread, 1-13 straight up, including 9 straight losses in their last 14 games on extended rest, 7+ days between game days. Did either of those trends matter for you tonight?
No, because it's a new Washington team. I mean, that trend matters. If it's the same coach, same preparation, then you would be worried if it was like Mike Tomlin where this was happening. But I mean, it's new team, new quarterback, new everything. So why bother with that trend? You know, best bet for me on the Friday pod was Washington here. I think we had it at 7. I got it at Sportsline at 8.5 when it opened. And now that it's down to 6.5, it seems like more of a stay away. I mean, I still lean Washington, but it's not in best bet territory once it gets under a touchdown. I mean, that rush offense for Washington hitting its stride, like I mentioned on Friday, they need to run against this tough Pittsburgh defense that can, you know, stop you throwing the ball. Huge rest advantage, like you mentioned. They effectively get a bye. Pittsburgh played on Wednesday. Washington's D is 5th in DVOA, 6th in points per drive. I think they can make it a low-scoring brawl, and it stays inside the number like that Kansas City game last night. You know, that never really sniffed covering for Kansas City. It stayed a close defensive game. I think we see something similar here.
Yeah, I've seen it this morning, and I guess, you know, we're using, obviously, our partners at William and Hill. I had a 6.5 now, even juice on that. I saw it jump to 7 earlier in the morning before we recorded this on a local site. It's like +7 -130, which is not, I guess I'm okay with the 7, but that's a lot of juice to be messing around with the Washington football team in this spot. A lot of places won't let you buy it from 6.5 to 7. I mean, that's a pretty key number. So I think I do like Washington still, but I'm with you on the boat that at 9.5 or 10, I love Washington. At 6.5 or 7, I mean, that's a lot of points. You know, this is a good Pittsburgh Steelers team. They don't really blow people out. We've seen them like throttle the Bengals and throttle the Browns this year, I guess. I think they had one more game where they just slaughtered somebody. But by and large, I mean, this is a team that, because of how they're constructed on offense and defense, and now without Bud Dupree, they sort of let people hang around. They're not coming out and dropping. Or they blew up the Jaguars. That was the other one. They're not coming out and dropping, you know, 50 points in the first half and just cleaning your clock, typically speaking.
And watching those teams have in common is they don't have any defense. Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Cleveland, right. Washington's a totally different thing. That's why I also like this to lean under. I think it's 43 and a half. Washington's defense also first in red zone success rate. Pittsburgh's defense first in points per drive. And Washington's offense obviously is probably going to run the ball and chew up clock, try to avoid turnovers. So this could be a fast pay, you know, a keep the clock moving type of game that stays under, you know, stays in the 30s, maybe creeps over 40.
What we saw on Thanksgiving was Antonio Gibson, the rookie running back he's a running back, but he's played like wide receiver and running back at Memphis, broke out in a big way for a huge game against Dallas. My favorite prop, RJ, in this game is Antonio Gibson over receptions 2.5. You look at the Steelers and they are actually fantastic against running backs catching balls out of the backfield. Last in receiving yards allowed to running backs. But if you look at it with some context, they had the Ravens, who didn't have Lamar, not that he throws to running backs, the Cowboys, who had Ben DiNucci, the Bengals, who had no Mixon, but Gio Bernard got there on the receptions and on the receiving yards, the Jaguars, who had Jake Luton and James Robinson got 2 for 21, and then the Titans, Derrick Henry, who doesn't catch balls out of the backfield the last few games. I think Antonio Gibson is primed to catch 3, 4, 5 passes out of the backfield over his the full season. He has 3.5 targets per game and 4 targets per game over his last 4 outings. I love that.
That offense has been playing well the last 4 outings, though. And if this is a game where you don't think Washington's going to be in it or take the lead, then you could see a lot more McKissick, and he gets the targets you're hoping that Gibson gets. So it might come down to game flow. If Washington gets in a hole early, you're not probably hitting that prop on Gibson because you're not putting him on the field as much.
No, that's a great point. Gibson, I like it because I think Washington will be competitive in this game. I don't think Pittsburgh will come out and just blow their doors off. You can kind of move the ball in Pittsburgh in the air. I think this Washington team will have a better success rushing the ball. And I think with no Bud Dupree, you can really shift and Tuitt and Cam Hayward and obviously TJ Watt are great, but I think you can kind of shift your protection schemes towards Watt to give Alex Smith a little more time. And I think they'll use Gibson as an outlet there as a way to alleviate the pressure.
Yeah. So my props, I would look under passing yards on both the quarterbacks. These two defenses are number one and number two in pass yards allowed. Pittsburgh's offense is middle of the pack in pass yards. Washington's defense has allowed 202 yards or less in 5 of their last 6. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger's prop when I saw it was 276. That's obviously a lot more than 202. So unless Pittsburgh's offense just completely goes off, and we saw they had troubles with drops in their last game, quick turnaround here. We don't know how that's going to affect them. I think Ben comes comfortably under that total. Then Washington's offense averaged under 160 yards of passing in their last 2. Pittsburgh's defense under 200 yards in their last 3. Alex Smith under 219.5 pass yards seems like a pretty good bet too.
Well, bad news, because that 219 that you quoted is already down to 213 on my local. It looks like it is cratering. It was at 220. I like the under there. Would you go as low as 213?
213 is fine. I'd probably go into the mid 200s. I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Now, the one thing I looked at, and I had this one written down, Alex Smith under pass yards as well. I didn't bet it, and so now I'm going to get a worse number, which sucks. But looking at the last 2 weeks, Cincinnati and Dallas, 2 comfortable double-digit victories for Washington. Alex Smith had 51 total pass attempts, way under 200 passing yards. But those were comfortable wins where they sort of leaned on the run late. And although, I guess, did Gibson have a late rush passing touchdown? Or late receiving touchdown, he might have on Thanksgiving against the Giants in Detroit, 2 3-point losses where they were, you know, in a close game. He had 87 passing attempts and 715 passing yards in those 3 games. I don't know if this is a game flow type of thing. If they're trying to limit his dropbacks, I hope they are, especially against a good pass rush. Does that concern you at all when taking this under here?
Again, think about those teams that you just mentioned where he was in close game. He threw 87 attempts. That's not the Steelers defense, and that's not how you win this game. If Washington wants to come out and stay in the NFC East race, they're not going to throw the ball a ton. It has to be run, ball control, defense, and play the way the Steelers have been winning, you know, run, ball control, defense, and, you know, who made the best team win in that sense. And Washington's kind of built their team around that in the last few weeks, so they could do it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. And look, take it. I mean, I guess it's not going to get that much lower. It could get down to like 208, but I don't hate the under on both guys. And Big Ben still presents a lot of value because people are scared. Like, people are hammering the Alex Smith under. They're not getting onto the Big Ben under per se. Okay. Any other props that you like in this particular
game? No, that was about it for those two.
Okay, cool. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Bills 49ers and then dive into the DFS for the day.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so the second game of Monday night, the Buffalo Bills at the San Francisco 49ers, but technically not at. Well, it's at, technically at, but it's in Arizona. And the Bills, I saw our pal, co-worker Jonathan Jones tweet out, wait, what? The Bills are a 1-point underdog to the 49ers who are playing a home game in Arizona? What am I missing here? And that made me, RJ, absolutely love my 49ers pick and wager in this game. Helping it more is the fact that they are now 1.5-point favorites over the Bills. I think Buffalo is -3 or -3 on the look ahead. So this is a pretty wild shift. Is that enough value for you to get on Buffalo, or do you think this is a game where the 49ers are just going to figure something out?
I loved Buffalo. The line was 2.5 as of Wednesday. I know that because when I put out my teaser of the week column, my number one teaser team was the 49ers. Teased them up to 8.5. And the line steamed all the way to the 49ers. Now, obviously, you don't tease them. They went through 0 at this point. Tease the Bills now, though. If you get 1.5, tease them up through 7, 6, and 7.5. If you want to do a little Steelers-Bills teaser, I don't hate that at all.
Nice job on Green Bay-Atlanta teaser.
Thank you. And I needed that late touchdown for Atlanta at the end. You know, it was looking rotten again, you know, with it was going to lead to another 24-9 game, but that didn't happen. So I love the Bills back when it was 2.5. I still liked them. But when I got to pick them, I love them. And now we're still going. The market wants to steam towards San Francisco. I'm fine with that. You know, if you like San Francisco, you miss the value. So I think you either play the Bills or you tease them up or stay away. San Francisco's D got healthier off the bye. Buffalo did too, which I mentioned on Friday. San Francisco's offense had their fifth straight game with multiple turnovers. That's what the Bills' defense is good at doing, creating turnovers. I have them graded as a far better team with Mullins at quarterback. We'll see what happens when Garoppolo comes back, if the offense can get going. But, I mean, got to love the Bills here. Probably the best bet of the day for me.
Wow. See, I'm on the 49ers. I love the 49ers in this spot. It stinks. It stinks out loud. But it's Kyle Shanahan against a Buffalo rush defense that, while improved, is not necessarily great. I think he'll scheme up some stuff. And this is, I mean, it's hard to understate how huge this game is for the playoff picture as a whole. If San Francisco can win this game, they are back in the mix, like firmly back in the mix. If Buffalo loses this game, we laid it out on Sunday night on the podcast, there's a path for the Patriots to win, steal the division, and the Bills maybe even miss the playoffs, which would be absolutely stunning considering their start. And they can easily go in and win this game. I'm not saying that they won't, but this just seems like a spot where Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh cook up something that confuses Josh Allen. If you prefer Scott Hansen's pronunciation, and they get the run game going and the 49ers win this game, and all of a sudden we're talking about how the NFC, like, are the Cardinals are going to finish last in the NFC West and all this stuff. You can see the narratives coming. So I am in on the 49ers. I think that their run game will get going, and they will do enough in the pass game to take care of Buffalo.
You love your narratives. I think there's also a possibility that Brian Daboll and Josh Allen could cook up something for the San Francisco defense. The 49ers allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league, 31 rushing yards per game. They faced the most carries by far, 71 total carries by quarterbacks, and that's closest to 61. Josh Allen's over 29 and a half rushing yards is one of my favorite props in this game. You know, he's topped it in each of his last two and four of his last six games. More importantly, he had 7+ carries in six straight games. So if he's getting those same number of carries against a team that allows the most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league, which I think should be the plan since they're obviously bad at defending it, then he's going to go over that total. So that's one of my top props here.
That is a great call. He is up to 31 and a half. Do you still like it there? You see 31 and a half?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the 31 per game is, right? Where 49ers average. This is obviously a better rushing quarterback than some of the guys they face. You know, you're not going to play that number when you're playing Jared Goff, but Josh Allen's a whole different beat.
And I think that you see with what San Francisco does on defense in terms of, you know, the cover three stuff on the back end, that's the sort of zone that Josh Allen would look at. I just think you could see him looking at the coverage, not loving what he's seeing, and maybe bolting the pocket a little bit earlier. Plus, if you add in some designed runs, you'd think that he gets to 35 easily in terms of rushing yards.
Yeah, this is the way to go. The San Francisco could have some matchup problems for Buffalo on their side, but like I said, Buffalo could also have some matchup problems for San Francisco here.
All right, well, I just put that in right now. I'm in on that prop. I like that prop a lot. That's a great flag plant prop. I am also in on the under for Devin Singletary rushing yards at 34 and a half. The 49ers are not giving up very many rushing yards to running backs at all. And if you look at the snaps, Zach Moss's return, I believe, coincided. Didn't it happen in week? I gotta look and confirm for sure. But basically, through the first, when Zach Moss was out, Devin Singletary saw like 75%+ of the snaps, up to like 90% of the snaps, and he has not been above 50% of the snaps at running on the offensive snaps for Buffalo since. Week 7 against the Jets, he has been over the rushing yard total twice, but it requires a long play. So he had 14 carries against New England for 86 yards, 11 carries against the Chargers for 82 yards. I just don't think he's going to see a ton of carries and a ton of snaps in this game. I think he'll be more involved in the passing game. Maybe gets a touchdown, whatever. As long as he stays under the 35 and a half, what do we have at William Hill? So it's down to 34 and a half now in some spots. All right, 34 and a half at William Hill. So under 34 and a half, I got it at 35 and a half. Obviously 36 and a half would be even better. It's not going to go back up. It looks like it's going to keep going down.
Yeah. And any carries Allen gets, that takes away from Singletary. So that helps you too. And yeah, Moss should be more involved. It's kind of hard to judge what could happen with the Bills running game. You know, it seems like if one guy makes a mistake, the other guy could be in for 80% of the runs. And, you know, sure. You just don't know what to expect. So I've kind of avoided that Bills running game for the most part. My long shot prop here is Gabriel gave us a score touchdown. He's plus 1400. So 14-1. He has four touchdowns in 11 games. So, that's what it was last night. I don't know if that's what it is now. I didn't check it before we recorded. So 4 of 11 games, he's had touchdowns. So that's already great value. Even before you get to the fact that he has a chance to step up with John Brown out. He had 90%+ of the snaps last week for the third time, I believe, this season. He should get 90% of the snaps here.
I think he might be 14-1 for first touchdown.
That might be what it was. Yeah, we'll still take that too.
Okay, it's plus 250 for any time touchdown score.
I mean, that's a great value, but plus 1400 for first touchdown, hit a long play, you know, early in the game, you know, they like to try to hit a deep one, and he's been great at those long plays and fill that John Brown role. So, 14-1 for first touchdown and plus 250 is a good value too.
Okay. So any other props that you've got that you want to include?
I mean, I would lean Jordan Reed over 35 and a half receiving yards. Bills have allowed the second most yards to tight ends this season, so it's a great matchup for them. He's had six targets in each of his last two games, so the opportunity should be there. And the 49ers are getting healthier at receiver, which could hurt, but the Bills are good against receivers, so tight end's the easier place to target, the passing game. So I think he probably is going to get over that number.
All right, well, let's do a little recap here of our props, and then we'll get to the DFS stuff. So from the Washington-Pittsburgh game, we both like the Alex Smith under passing yards. RJ added on the Big Ben under passing yards, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I've got the over Antonio Gibson reception, so that's three from that game. Am I missing? Did I miss something? That's it, right?
No.
That's it. And then from the Bills game, I like Devin Singletary under rush yards. Josh Allen. RJ loves Josh Allen over rush yards, and I agree with him. I put it in while we were podcasting, up to the probably the mid-30s, anything below 35 maybe?
Yeah, sounds about good.
Okay. And also Gabe Davis, first touchdown and anytime touchdown scorer. And that's is that it? I think that's it, right?
Yep. And Jordan Reed, if you want to add something on the San Francisco side.
All right, there you go. So those are the props for those games. Let's cash them all. If you bet them and they hit, tweet us a slip and let us know that it hit, because I mean, it gets me excited. Anytime somebody scores oh, by the way, how about Devontae Adams, first touchdown score? Bang. Packers game. I nailed that one. Did I get 5 wins on the Best Bets podcast?
I don't know.
No, probably not. All right, let's talk some DFS. So I think we're just going to do the double slate here. We are just going to do the double slate. So these are the fun things. When you get the two games and you get to construct an actual lineup of the two guys. So at quarterback, obviously your options are Josh Allen. I'll stop doing that at some point. Nick Mullins, Big Ben, Josh Allen, 7,300. Big Ben, 6,400. Nick Mullins, 5,100. Alex Smith, 4,900. Clearly the chalkier guys will be Allen and Roethlisberger.
I think the chalkier guy is going to be Mullins because the matchup says 32nd, 32nd for the Bills. People are going to see that. They can get value there. They're going to do that. My somewhat chalky, somewhat zigging play there is to go Josh Allen. I don't trust either guy in Washington, Pittsburgh with those pass defenses. Take Allen based on the rushing value. I think he's going to rush a ton and get a touchdown there. And then, so that would be, that's where I'm spending up there. In order to counteract that, I'm spending down, obviously, Gabriel Davis. I think he's going to get a touchdown. So I'm running with him at 4,300. Jordan Reed, I said he's going to go over. So I love him at 3,200 with the tight end. And then if you want to differentiate your lineup a little, you can go Eric Ebron as the second tight end, because a lot of people don't like to play the tight end flex, especially when you have a lot of flexibility in these games.
Won the Millie Maker on Sunday. 2 tight ends, Darren Waller and I don't remember who the other one was, but Darren Waller and a second tight end won the Millie Maker. So it works.
There you go. And then the other way to differentiate your lineup is a lot of people play the Pittsburgh, running back defense combination, Benny Snell and the Pittsburgh defense, picking their role in that game. But if we think Washington's going to be just as good, why not go with Antonio Gibson, your guy at 6,500, a little paying up there. I don't think people are going to want to do that with that defensive matchup. And then the Washington defense at 2,500, they've played their butt off. They could surprise Pittsburgh on a short week and a weird schedule. So you can structure your lineup like that. You can do, what you want on the other stuff, Diggs, McLaurin, Samuel, those can throw them in the receiver flex mix, and Mostert at running back, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great call. And you're right on the quarterback. I think I looked at that the wrong way. People will want to get the key skill position guys. Nick Mullins offers some salary relief. I mean, you're saving $2,200 by going down from Josh Allen to Nick Mullins. That is a huge amount. Ben Roethlisberger has a Q next to his name, so that could suppress his roster rate a little bit. I mean, is there any thought of going with Alex Smith as a contrarian play? I assume not, because you like the under in his passing yards.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to run a lot. You have to think he's going to throw some touchdowns, and we just don't know. That's going to be a low-scoring game, I think, so I don't really want to mess with much out of that game that I don't have to.
You don't have to do this if you're building a lineup in one of these smaller two-game slates, but it makes sense to correlate some aspects of your lineup. If you have Allen and Gabe Davis, I like to bring back with a $6,000 Debo Samuel, who has a pretty nice, healthy over-under for in terms of his receiving yards, is very much involved in jet sweeps, screen game. They'll run him out of the backfield, and he's a heavily featured part of Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah, typically I don't like to go number one receivers against the Bills because they have Trey White, but Samuel's versatility makes him not really a number one receiver. They use him in different ways. It'll keep him more effective. Maybe Ayuk has to line up more on White, and that just erases him, so I'm probably not playing Ayuk in any of these. I think Samuel's a fine play. I have him in my flex right now.
Okay. How would you handle the Steelers wide receivers? They have Deontay Johnson, 6,300, Claypool, 61, and Juju, still the cheapest at 5,700.
Yeah, I didn't play any of them. I think there could be opportunity there. I don't mind if you want to go with Juju at the 67. Hope he gets some looks in the slot. I decided to avoid the Pittsburgh, as much as possible in this lineup, considering that I thought because they were heavily favored, a lot of other people would use them.
I think Pittsburgh will be very chalky, especially because you can grab, Benny Snell is 5,400. He's the third most expensive running back, not counting James Conner. But, I think you'll see a lot of Benny Snell and Zach Moss combinations, because that allows you to, you can spend up at the wide receiver spot if you're so inclined. So what is your what does your lineup kind of look like here? Because I'm putting one together, and I'm just curious what you think.
Yeah, I kind of ran through it a little bit earlier. Josh Allen at quarterback, Mostert and Gibson at running back, Diggs, Gate, and Davis at receiver, you know, to take advantage of the Allen play. McLaurin at receiver, it looks like he's going to play. News reports came out on Monday that it seems like he's good to go. So that's my receivers with Samuel at the flex as a fourth receiver. Jordan Reed at tight end, and then Washington at defense. And if you want to mix it up a little, you can go Ebron instead of Samuel. You have more to spend on defense or some other position if you want.
Man, if you go down to Jordan Reed and the Washington football team, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I built a team that's Allen, Gibson. I'll take McKissick out and go with Mostert. And so I got Allen, Gibson, Mostert, Gabe Davis, Deebo Samuel, Juju, Jordan Reed, McLaurin, Washington defense. I have 2,200 left over. A lot of flexibility in this thing. And I think
Diggs is my guy that I spent up on. And that could be bad because Sherman came out and they looked pretty good last week. So maybe that's not a great play. But if I have Allen in there and I'm playing Davis anyway, might as well roll with the second.
I go with Diggs too. Yeah. And by the way, we don't think we touched on it. Do you think that game stays over or under the Bills game?
The Bills game, it's probably an under for me. I would lean under just because those defenses showed up last week. But I don't have that much confidence, so I stay away.
Okay, cool. All right. That's it. We just made everybody $1 million. We gave you a bunch of props. You'll be able to fund next week's DFS with all the props winnings you get. And we got a 2-game slate that starts in 6 hours, RJ. Make sure to follow RJ at RJWhite1 on Twitter. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code White. You get your first month for $1. All of RJ's picks are there. He is on a fantastic run against the spread in the NFL. So make sure and check those out. RJ, as always, a pleasure, buddy.
Hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.